Can non-Jews pray to the God of Israel? The answer is yes, of course. The objective of this class is to explain, actually, how does it work, prayer, the way Judaism understands it, for non-Jews. First of all, what's the proof that actually non-Jews can pray to the God of Israel? It's a very simple proof, but before bringing the proof, every single thing in Judaism has to have a proof, has to have a place where we can read and see that in ancient times, this was the way things were done. It's not what I think, it's not what I think it's proper, it's not what my intellect guides me to tell, no. I don't care about that. What's the proof that non-Jews, in this case, can pray to the God of Israel? Well, the prophet Yeshaya, he says, Ki beisi beis tfila, yikolo. I mean, my house, that means the temple in Jerusalem, will be called the house of prayer for all the nations of the world. Furthermore, when Shlomo Melech, when King Solomon built actually the first temple, he made a whole prayer when it was actually starting to work, and he asked for all the non-Jews to be heard by God. That's the God of Israel. So that's the proof, actually, from two verses, that non-Jews can use the ideas of prayer that Jews have, for Judaism has, for Jews. Now, let's move on. What's the whole thing about prayer for Jews and for non-Jews? For non-Jews, there's... Now, let's move on. There is no obligation for non-Jews to pray. That means, if you want to do it, it's fine. And if you don't want to do it, you're fine also. You're not missing, so to speak, anything. The definition, very simple definition of prayer is you ask God, the creator of everything. That means no intermediaries, no children, son and daughter, or whatever the case is, nothing else but God. We just pray to God and ask him whatever we need. In any language you want, you can verbalize, actually produce the words with your lips to God. Are you going to ask me, God knows everything, why should I talk? Because by talking, we realize, not for God, it's for us. We realize that we're actually connecting to him and asking him, putting ourselves under his authority and under his kindness, allowing his kindness to enter our life. We realize that he is the boss. In other words, when we actually verbalize the words, we just think about them, it's not such a strong realization within yourself that actually he is the boss. In order for this prayer to actually function, work properly, you should actually set up a place in your house, in your office, whatever you want to pray, a place that actually helps you to concentrate in your prayers. It has to include something of praise to God, has to include, of course, your petitions, and you can say it in any way you want, and you can talk to God just like you would talk to your father, etc., or to a friend, whatever the case is, and then you actually express your thankfulness. Thankfulness for all kinds of things. First of all, for all the things that he already gave you. Second, for the things that he's going to give you. And third, and actually most important, thanks for being able to talk to you, for being able to think about you. Who told you it's such an obvious thing that the creator, which is infinite, has to have a connection with the creature, which is not infinite? So that's part of God's kindness. And that's what prayer actually arouses in a person, again, connection, which is one of the translation, actually, of the Hebrew word tefillah. Tefillah means, one of the ideas is to connect. It's not just to ask him or to thank him, whatever, is to connect to God. Another explanation, interestingly speaking, is to judge yourself. When can you really ask God something? When you judge yourself, you realize who you are, what you really need, and then you ask God. We learn this idea, this attitude, from an encounter between Jacob and Esau. When they saw themselves after many, many years of being separated, both of them were very rich. And Esau said, Ahi yishli raf, my brother, I have a lot, like really a lot of money, you know? Don't give me a gift, I have a lot. Yaakov, on the other hand, he said, Ahi yishli koil, I have everything. What does it mean, everything? I have everything that I need. Not 1 cent less, not 1 cent more. I have what I need, and I'm happy, you know? Esav had a lot, but he wasn't so happy, you know? But whatever, that's another idea. You have to judge yourself. That's another explanation of the word prayer. We spoke about already a place. You have to be dressed, like as if you were being in front of a king, because actually that's what prayer means. You are in front of the King of Kings, the God, of the creator of everything. So you have to dress yourself properly. You have to be ready to present yourself in front of the king. It's a very good thing to give tzedakah. Tzedakah means charity, help to others, etc. Before prayer, these we learn in the Talmud. It says, "Ani in the Tehillim, in the Psalms," and the Talmud explains the Psalm. It says, "Ani betzedek chesefanecha, I with justice or with charity will see your face." So that means if you're presenting yourself in front of the face of God, so to speak, first of all, give charity. This will help your prayers to be heard better. Why? Very simple. God is looking at you and he says, oh, wait, if you're not going to help somebody else, why should I help you? But if you go first, before asking, you go help somebody else, and then you ask help from God, of course, he's going to say, okay, I take it. This person is actually bringing goodness, kindness into my world. I will give him goodness and kindness. Another idea is, you should not, if you're non-Jewish, you should not use a Jewish prayer book, because the Jewish prayer book is all built up according to the spiritual structure of the Jew, and it's full of ideas and words that do not apply to non-Jews. Just a very simple example. Many, many places, the Jewish prayer book says that we thank God because he commanded us 613 mitzvahs, commandments, and he's told us to do this and that, etc. Wait a second. If you're non-Jew, where do you see that he commanded you those commandments? So it doesn't make any sense. You should not use a Jewish prayer book for praying. Now, what should you use? The best thing to use is Psalms. Actually, the Jewish prayer book is full of Psalms, and the most common ones are from 145 till the end of Psalms. You can recite this every single day. There is no set time for non-Jews to pray. You can pray once a day, at least, or you can pray 100 times a day. Actually, every single time you just raise your head, so to speak, your hands or your head, whatever, in your mind to God, that's prayer also. That counts actually as prayer. So you can pray it 100,000 times just in a few hours. That's not a problem. But again, there's no set time for prayers. There's not necessarily you have to pray in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night, just as the Jews do. That's not necessary. You can cover your head if you want with anything that covers your head, and the place where you, as we spoke, set up has to be clean place. That means not dirty with animal things, etc., etc., and has to have a normal, common smell, not bad smell. That's a way of actually giving honor to the prayer that you're doing to the Creator. As we spoke before, the main thing is to understand that prayer is a connection to God, which is another of the explanations of the word tefillah, teufel kli, connection to God. This is a very special moment. This is something every single human can do, specifically to the Lord, the creator of everything, with no intermediaries at all. And you should know that every single thing that you say, and every single time that you pray, God is listening to you. And not only that, he's answering you. Sometimes you actually see the answer as you asked. I need money. Oh, so you see money? Somebody brought you a new business or whatever the case. Sometimes you don't see the answer the way you want it, because God has other plans. But that doesn't mean that he's not listening, and it doesn't mean that he's not answering, actually. We should have the merit of have our prayers answered the way we want, the way we ask. And if that doesn't happen, chas v'shalom, God forbid, we should have the merit to actually receive with happiness whatever answer God thinks is the better for us.